Grace and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In ancient times, when a king decided to go from one place to another, from one part of his kingdom, perhaps to another part of his kingdom, there would be a delegation sent in front of him to go and prepare the way of the king. They would go and they would find all the little potholes in the road, and they would take care of the potholes. If there was an unnecessary part of the road that wound around, they would take it and they would straighten it out so that the way was as smooth as possible for the king to get from one place to another. I also imagine that that might mean getting rid of any thieves that might be on the road too. In other words, they would make the road worthy of the king who was traveling, so that the king could get there safely and in all his grandeur. And so this morning we hear that John the Baptist has come, and we hear of what his purpose is as well, and it's the exact same purpose. He is the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." His purpose is to come and get people ready for the coming King, who is Jesus Christ. And so in his preparation, he has a very simple and straightforward message. Repent, for the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. Repent. Another way of saying that is turn away from your sin, for the reign of God is coming on earth. Repent. Now, as John gives this message on the banks of the Jordan River, apparently people like what they hear. The Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of people, and people from all over Jerusalem and Judea are coming to hear the message of this guy who is oddly dressed in camel's clothes, and or camel's hair. I guess camels don't wear clothes. But he's dressed in camel's hair. He eats really big grasshoppers and honey. He sounds like a wild character. And his message is really short, but they want to come and they want to hear it. They receive his message. And so many people start getting baptized and they confess of their sins. They are preparing their hearts to receive the King, the Lord. They are making the path straight into their heart so that there would be no roadblock there. I mean, it cuts to their heart. If God is indeed returning, if God is coming, they say to themselves, I imagine, well, then I better get things right. I imagine it's like maybe their lives are like my life is when Annie and the kids are gone for a couple days. When Annie and the kids are gone for a couple days, I'll just be honest, I go full-on bachelor mode. I'm eating pizza rolls, I'm eating microwavable stuff all over the place, fried chicken, oh man, I'll get a box of that and I'll just eat that for the rest of the week. It doesn't matter if it's hot or cold, that's what I do. I don't wash dishes, I don't throw stuff in the garbage, I don't do laundry, it's a bad sight. But when I hear that Annie is on her way home, it's like John the Baptist is standing right there. Prepare the way, Barnhart. And so all of a sudden, I'm washing dishes. I'm throwing out the garbage. I'm getting rid of any signs of chicken bones that are lying around. I make sure the pizza roll boxes are hidden well away. The garbage is out at the curb. I prepare the way. The people hear John's message. They repent, and they are preparing the way for the Lord to come to them. They confess their sins. But as John is preaching and baptizing, he notices a particular group of people coming to him. They are the Pharisees and Sadducees. These are people who are kind of the religious elite of the area. And though our text says that they are coming for baptism, John knows something about these people. And I think the Holy Spirit speaks to him and gives him a vision of who these people are. And he calls them out with pretty harsh language. He sees them and he says, "You brood of vipers, you poisonous snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance." And here's the real crux. Here's where we understand exactly what John is seeing. Verse 9, he says, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.'" That's the problem. These Pharisees, these Sadducees, in their own mind, by their own thoughts, think that they are already doing what is good enough to prepare their hearts. I expect that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and very likely the rest of the people in John's hearing, are surprised by his words against these people. Because of all the people in the world, the Pharisees and the Sadducees probably looked most like they had prepared their hearts to receive a returning Lord. These are people who studied the Scriptures. They paid careful and close attention to it. They tried to live every aspect of their lives according to the Word of God. They ate the right foods that were prescribed by the law. They washed their hands at the right times and in the right ways and at the right places. They did everything they could. They prayed. But in trying to make themselves worthy to receive the Lord, on their own account, they prove themselves unworthy to receive the Lord. Their works were not good enough. The things that they did were not good enough. Even all the worship they did by itself was not good enough. They could have been giving all their money away to the poor. They could have been doing all sorts of good deeds, and these things are good by themselves, and I'm sure the poor would appreciate that. But they do not prepare the way of the Lord. Good works are good, but they are not what God wants in a prepared heart. They are to come later. Our gospel lesson teaches us that there is no substitute for heartfelt brokenness over one's sin. There is no substitute for the confession of sin when it comes to preparing your heart to receive the Lord. Listen to this verse from Psalm 51. 51:17 says, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Listen to it another way, another translation. "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart." What God wants most in a heart, the best laid and prepared heart there is one that knows it is not worthy to receive the Lord. The heart prepared to receive the Lord is the one that knows it is not worthy to receive the Lord. That is what God wants. And that should be a freeing thing for us, to know that no deed that I do is going to be good enough for God. He wants us to do those things, but it's not what matters for our salvation. What God wants is for you to simply know that you need Him, that you are a sinner, and that you need Jesus to cover your sin. This morning we'll celebrate Holy Communion. And there are people in this world who think that they can't come to the table because God doesn't want them there, because they're not good enough. I can't come and receive the body and the blood because I'm not good enough. You know what? That's exactly why you should come. And that's exactly who God wants to come. The person who is unworthy to go to the table is the person who thinks they don't need it. It's the person who thinks that they already are worthy. It's a paradox. The worthy are those who know they are not worthy. So hear the word of the Lord today. Prepare your hearts. Confess your sin. Know that God has covered it by the blood of Christ, who died for you, who was raised from the grave for you, and who someday will return for you. Let us pray. All gracious and heavenly Father, expose our sin to us, show us our need for you, and grant us the comfort of your gospel, that a repentant and confessing heart is exactly what you want. And as people who then are forgiven, send us out into this world to do what you would have us do. Not because we need to do it to be saved, but because you would desire for us to bring your word to others in word and in deed. We pray this in your name. Amen.